Welcome to Strong Tower Radio. Today we're going to do a book review. We're going to do a book review on Pastor Dennis Page's book, A Drop of Grace. Welcome to our program, Pastor Page.
Thank you. It's a real blessing to be here with you today, Tom. Thank
Absolutely.
You.
You are a life that has been changed.
Amen. As my brother, when he watched a video I did about my life story on YouTube, and he's not a Christian, he wrote a comment there that said, "Truly, your life is a testament of the power of God and the transformative power in His Word."
Isn't it interesting that even a non-believer can testify to belief when they see it?
Amen. Amen. That is amazing.
A Drop of Grace. What a great title. Let's have a word of prayer. Our great Heavenly Father, every story that is under your grace is a testimony of your goodness to us as sinners and the mercy that you have. Lord, be with us as we explore Pastor Page's story, that it will be uplifting and will be encouragement to those in need. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Pastor Page, we're talking about your book, A Drop of Grace, and give an overview of what this book entails.
Well, just a quick overview. I didn't grow up in a Christian home. I was influenced by the enemy of souls. I was influenced by society, of course, by my family. At a very young age, I had very little knowledge of God. What I did have, I did not care to know much more about Him from what I heard. I got involved in drugs at a very young age.
How young is young?
Oh, I started using when I was about 13, 14 years old, drinking and using drugs. I got into...
What were you hoping to accomplish through that?
It was a painkiller, okay. Tom. It was just my way of coping with a dysfunctional family, poverty, and a lot of emotional pain. So I wasn't planning on growing up to be a drug dealer, but a few years later, I would begin to sell drugs. I went on that journey for the next 20 years. I worked. I made very good money at the jobs I worked at. But that was my way of life for many decades. I got involved with a drug ring out of Mexico. And
going direct to the source, huh?
Yeah. And then before you know it, I was not long after that under investigation by the task force, FBI. You know, I got involved in spiritualism, and I thought I tapped into this supernatural power to help me elude law enforcement. I didn't realize what I was involved in. And, you know, in the darkest time of my life, God would send an angel to reveal something to me about Himself. And from that night on, I began reading the Bible. So that's kind of an overview. And then He would lead me. What He revealed to me that night, He would then lead me to the very church that He raised up to give the message that He revealed to me that night, which is just amazing.
Very good. Can you give us a little bit of history of this book and how it... when you were 14 years old, did you ever think, I'm going to be an author?
Well, I didn't think about what I was going to be much of at all when I was 14 years old, to be honest with you. I just, I guess my main goal was to finish school, get away from my family, get away from the dysfunction, and have my own life.
Well, you gave us that overview. Can you give us it in a little bit, zoom in a little bit on your life?
Sure. So, you know, I grew up in Buffalo, New York, grew up in the ghetto. We were very poor. And before I was 2 years old, my mother had taken me from my father, moved. We were living over on the East Coast, moved back to Buffalo where I was born at, changed my name, and just
That's
hit us.
That's pretty serious, changing your name.
Yeah, hit us from my father. She didn't want my father to ever find us. She never wanted us to know who our father was. And she did a really good job at it. We never, to this day, I never seen a picture of my father. Before she died, she gave me a little bit of information about him. I don't know if he's alive anymore, but I've never seen a picture still to this day. And, you know, she said he was this type of person. Well, my mom wasn't that nice of a person either, but, you know, she tried to be a good mom, but, you know, she came from a very broken background and experience. I shared a little bit about my mother's experience here at Village Church at the Jesus Holistic Sexuality Conference that we held. I tied the conference off last evening of the series, and I shared a little bit about that. You can see that on our website at village, church here. So, you know, my mom did the best she could. I don't condemn my mom at all, or you know, she did what she could.
So we're not going to evaluate too much of the life before.
Right.
But there was the encounter with Jesus. Share that with us.
Well, let me take a little bit before leading up to that. And, you know, like I said, at my darkest hour, you know, I worked, I made good money, and I had everything that you think brought success to life. I had the nice home, I drove the nice cars, I had money, I had lots of material things, lots of friends. And, you know, anybody that came around me, my friends that were around me, they looked up to me, they thought I was a very successful person. And I made a lot of money working where I worked at the two different kind of jobs I held. But I was always a drug user and a drug dealer. And so I had this double life going on. And when I was 35 years old, sitting in my nice home, driving a Jag, just after the parties were over and people would go home, I'd sit there and I'd think about, is this all there is to life?
Were you down deep, emptiness of some sort?
Yeah, I was struggling.
Or was it even worse?
It was worse because I was struggling with anxiety. You know, I had all this stuff, but yet there was something missing, Tom, and I didn't understand what it was. You know, today I can tell people, you know, exactly what it is. You were created in God's likeness and image. You were created to reflect the character attributes of the Creator. And when you're not doing that, this conscience guilt just overwhelms the mind. And you can have all these things, but yet something's missing because you're out of harmony with the one that created you to be in harmony with Him. And so, but you don't know that. And I didn't know that. I heard about God when I was younger. One day He was going to show up, burn the earth with fire. And that's all I cared to know about Him. I didn't even know who Jesus was at this time in my life. But I was wondering, what else is there to life? Because I wasn't satisfied. And so I had the last employer I worked for, the owner of the company asked me if I'd go to church with him. And I told him no. And he asked if he could take my son. And so my son went to church, and there's a little story about that. It's in my book. But then this other couple came up to me, and they asked me if I wanted to go to church. So I tried it a couple of times. I figured, you know, maybe I meet a Christian woman. My life might be a little better. Nah, it didn't work. I felt like a hypocrite, Tom. And to those listening, I'd tell you, if you start going to church, don't try to get yourself all cleaned up before you go to church. Jesus does the cleaning. You're not going to get yourself cleaned up. It's about His righteousness, not yours. And He's the one that's going to do the cleansing. Just keep going. Keep studying the Bible. Keep searching. Keep seeking. Keep praying. Don't give up. He will give you the victories that you need in life. So, but I felt like a hypocrite. So I stopped going. But those people gave me a Bible. And I just put it away somewhere in the house. You know, God knows how to reach the human heart. And even though I myself wasn't praying to God, wasn't crying out to God, He heard my heart cry. And I want to read something. I put this in my Bible because it's so profound. It says, this comes from a book called Christ Object Lessons, page 206. Beautiful quote. It says, arise and go to your Father. He will meet you a great way off. If you take even one step toward Him in repentance, He will hasten to enfold you in His arms of infinite love. His ear is open to the cry of the contrite soul. The very first reaching out of the heart after God is known to Him. Never a prayer is offered, however faltering. Never a tear is shed, however secret. Never a sincere desire after God is cherished, however feeble. But the Spirit of God goes forth to meet it. And this is the beautiful part of this quote. Even before the prayer is uttered, or the yearning of the heart made known, and that's made known to the person, not made known to God. Even before the yearning of the heart is made known, grace from Christ goes forth to meet the grace that is working upon the human soul. And I can tell you, Tom, God could hear my heart cry. I got involved in spiritualism, talking to spirits. I was in a very dark place in my life. I didn't care if people lived or died. I was willing to have people killed in my own home. I became very wicked and evil. In the midst of all of that, one night after a big party was over, God sent an angel to reveal something to me. And I know it was an angel. You know, for weeks, I'd write out my feelings on paper. I didn't share it with nobody because I didn't trust anybody. The people I was around, you know, I was very careful who I trusted. And the people I did trust, I trusted them so much so far. And that was it. But after a party, everybody went home. I sat there thinking about life. And, you know, I was broken inside. I didn't know who to turn to. And I got out my pen and paper, and I was getting ready to write again. And just as I put that pen to the paper, the first thing that came to my mind was, Jesus said. Now, this was so profound, and I wasn't thinking about how profound it was when it was all happening, but on this side of things, at that time, up to that time, I had never read the Bible in my life. I didn't know who Jesus was. Although I went to church a few times, I went to check out the ladies, to be honest with you. I didn't go to hear about Jesus. And whatever the pastor said never stuck, went over my head because I wasn't paying attention. Jesus said, I write that down. Next impressions start coming. For I told you I'd never be far away as I hear and feel your hearts cry out today. And the people say, I start this conversation like between humanity and God. The people say, what must we do? Where should we pray? Where is it safe for our children to play? Our Savior, can you say? Jesus says, the answer has been placed in your heart from the very start. True faith will see you through. And the people cry out, with all the evil in our world today, it is our faith we are to rely on? And Jesus says, yes, the end days have now come. I will test the faith in everyone. And then I say, have no fear, for Jesus is here. Do you not feel him? Is it not clear? His Spirit is everywhere. Put all your trust and faith in the Father and the Son, and they will guide you and protect you from the wicked one. And I would also like you to live your lives with this in mind. Treat the person next to you as if that person was Jesus Christ. Then and only then would this world be a better place for you and me and our family. I would write all of that out, Tom, not realizing what I was doing. I would set that piece of paper aside. At that very moment, I heard footsteps running down my house, through the hallway, and right out the side of the home. Now, like I said, I was involved in spiritualism. I had been talking to these spirits. They were conversing with me. I've seen one of them. One of them revealed themselves to me at one time. But I've never heard them run through my house like that. My heart about jumped out of my chest. I knew it was one of these spirits. I get another piece of paper out, get ready to start writing again. And out of the corner of my eye, there's a silhouette of a person standing off in the corner of my room. They're there for a moment and gone. I had complete peace. That did not freak me out like what I just heard upstairs. And I get ready to start writing again, and then my vision is blurred. I'm sitting on a couch, leaning over, writing on a table. My vision is blurred, and I sense and I feel, actually, somebody sit next to me. I want to look, but it's like my head was locked in place. I try to turn my head and look, and I can't, and I hear a voice say, keep writing. I begin to write some other things, and after a few moments, I look to my side, and nobody's there. And I pick up that piece of paper that I just shared with you, and I read that back to myself. Tom, I can't explain to you the emotions that I was experiencing at that time. Like I said, I was in a very dark place in my life. I didn't care if people lived or died. I was under investigation by the task force and FBI. There was a hit on my life. Crazy things going on in my life. And now I realize God is real. I was so excited. And I'll tell you, when you realize Christ is real, God is real, it's like, it just shook my whole worldview. I got to share it with somebody, you know? And so I pick up the phone. It's in the middle of the night, 2, 3 o'clock in the morning. It's about 3 o'clock in the morning. And I call up these people that I was selling drugs to, ask them if I come over and visit with them. Sure, I'm their drug dealer. I go over and visit with them. And I start telling them about God, you know? And this, I always tell people, share what you know. Share what you know. And God would give you more. Of course, they thought I was insane. They thought I lost my mind. They never heard their drug dealer. You know, I've known these people for years. They never heard me talk about God before. And here I'm telling them about what Jesus said. And what's so profound of what I just shared with you is later when I did start reading the Bible, I would find dozens of Bible verses that reference that. And not only that, but I would start reading the Bible every day. And God would lead me to the very church that is teaching that we're living in the end days and that God will test our faith on everyone and that we are to trust in the Father and the Son to guide us through the darkness that we live in this world. So amazing how God worked all that out.
I want to ask you, the title of your book is A Drop of Grace. Did you just share that drop of grace just now?
I did. Because here it is, Tom. All those that come unto him, he will in no wise cast out. That's his promise. Cast all your care upon him, for he cares for you. He came to save us, not to condemn us. And he tells us in the book of Isaiah, he says, come now, let us reason together. God is a God of invitation.
I like that, a God of invitation.
He invites us to come and let's talk about our situation in life. He says, I got a remedy. No matter how deep in darkness you are, no matter how broken you are, I have a remedy. I can wash you and make you white as snow. It's a beautiful picture of God. Just like he took Israel out of Egypt, they couldn't deliver themselves. They're in bondage to the mightiest nation in the world at that time. You know, we can't deliver ourselves from darkness. But the beautiful thing is, Jesus came to save us, not to condemn us. And you know, Tom, what I would realize later, as I continued to read the Bible, and I'll tell you, you know, it wasn't easy. Every day I'd read the Bible. I continued to be a drug dealer for many, many more months. But one day I asked God, I said, look, I don't want to live like this anymore. I really want to be free, but I don't know how to get out of the situation I'm in. You just don't walk away from these people I was involved in. And one night I came home from the club. I had been drinking and I said, Lord, please help me. I don't want to live like this anymore. I'd rather die than just continue to live like this. And he answered that prayer within 12 hours. The next day in the afternoon, I'd find myself being approached by a Secret Service agent and a federal marshal that wanted to talk with me. They wanted me to get an SUV with them, and I told them, no, I'm not going to do that. We got in a fight right there. They wrestled me to the ground. They arrested me. I had threatened to kill a federal agent. They had me on a wiretap. And off to prison I went. And for our listeners there today, you know, I want to encourage you, when you ask God to help you, understand that he's going to help you the best way.
Not the easiest, not the most convenient?
Absolutely not. You know, you think about when he led the children of Israel out of Egypt. You know, he didn't lead them by the way of the Philistines. He led them over by the Red Sea. To them, there was impossible for that crossing. But God knew what was best. God's going to lead us in the way that will build our confidence and faith in him.
Listeners, you're listening to an interview with Pastor Dennis Page about his book, A Drop of Grace. So, Pastor, continue the story. We're out there in the middle of the wilderness, the Hebrews leaving Egypt, and continue your analogy.
Yeah, so, you know, they come to the Red Sea crossing. I find myself in federal prison. I don't know what the impasse is. I don't know what the end result is going to be.
You were in pretty deep water.
Yeah, I'm facing many years, perhaps life in prison. And while I was there, I continued to pray. I continued to read the Bible 8 to 10 hours a day, searching to know who God is. And he just took me on a beautiful journey. And I would discover all these teachings of Christ. You know, I picked up a book called Left Behind. I read that book and I thought to myself, I can't put my finger on the false teaching here, but what I do know is it doesn't represent the character of God that I'm reading about in the Bible. And when somebody gave me part two, I distinctly heard God say to me, don't read that. And I put it down and I would read nothing but the Bible. Well, you know, God has a sense of humor. I was praying for some alone time while I was in prison, and I don't know where you're going to get that in prison. Those of you listening to me today, if you've ever been locked up, you understand there's really no place to be alone except for one place. That's solitary confinement. And so I was praying for some alone time, and I got in trouble. I got sent to solitary confinement. And you know, it was there that I realized I could open my heart to God as to a friend. And I just want to encourage our listeners today, you know, God already knows everything about you.
You're not telling him anything new.
Right, right. And it's not like he doesn't know any dark secret in your heart. He knows it all. The purpose of confession is for our own personal healing. It's not to inform God on what's going on.
That's not our first impression.
Right, right. It's like, oh, I need to tell God this. No, he already knows. You need to take ownership of it, because when you take ownership of it, then he can work with you. He can bring healing. He can bring restoration. He can bring cleansing. But until we do that, he cannot help us. So he draws us. This is the beautiful thing about God. He provides the sacrifice, Jesus Christ. He draws us to it, Tom. And as it would say in Romans 12:4, he gives us to embrace that sacrifice. He gives us grace. He gives us the Holy Spirit. He gives us everything that's needed for our salvation. And he continues to draw us along. And that's what he was doing with me. And I'm learning all these beautiful things about Jesus. And I learned about the seventh-day Sabbath. The seventh day, you know, the right day. And I never went to anybody's church because I wanted to make sure I went to church on the right day, because this is what Jesus taught. This is what God teaches. It's part of the Ten Commandments. It was given to all. Jesus says the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. That's not the Sabbath was made for the Jew. That's not what he said. He could have said that. He could have made it very clear. But he didn't say that. You go back at the beginning of creation, Adam wasn't a Jew, all right? But he gave him the Sabbath. You look at the Isaiah chapter 66, and it's very clear when God creates the heavens, the earth, and makes it all new, from one Sabbath day to another, from one new moon to another, we're all going to come and worship God. Well, what Sabbath day is that going to be? Is it going to be the man-made institution of the Sabbath? Sunday? No, it's not. And a lot of people don't know this. They don't understand this. And I didn't know it. But when I read it from the Bible, it was very clear. It's Saturday. Okay, Lord, well, who was the church on that day? And so I start asking around inmates and that, and they said, well, go to the chapel and you'll find out. So I went to the chapel, and that's this group of people called Seventh-day Adventists. Well, who are they? Well, I don't know who they are. So, well, I go and I listen. Well, they're going to share from the Bible. Is it the Bible and the Bible alone? Well, yeah, what do you know? What they're sharing with me is everything God already taught me. And I thought to myself, okay, well, let's listen a little more about it. Well, don't you know, it's this people, it's this church that God raised up, that's given a three angels message out of Revelation 14, the only Protestant church in the world, Tom, giving the message to fear God, give glory to him, letting people know judgment's coming, salvation is offered, and don't be deceived. And you know, what a beautiful message. There's hope in Jesus Christ, not just for forgiveness of sins, Tom, but for victory over sin. What a beautiful thing to know that I don't have to remain a drug dealer. I don't have to remain an addict. I don't have to remain a person filled with anger and rage, but Jesus can give me victory over the things. And I'm so thankful for that today.
Amen. Amen. Well, listeners, you're listening to Pastor Dennis Page telling from his autobiography of A Drop of Grace. Pastor, one of the things, as you were sharing about, as you were writing things down, you were almost poetic in your form. And where did that message come from? I mean, you weren't reading anything. I was just amazed. I'm here watching you, and you're reciting this word for word in poetic form. That's a pretty amazing statement you had there.
You know, Tom, it's God sent. Because I was never into poetry. At the time I wrote this, when I left high school, when I graduated from high school, I joined the Marine Corps. I never went to college. I wasn't into reading. I was more into math and stuff like that, but I managed companies. I did very well at other companies that I worked at, and I did piece rate work. I made a lot of money working in custom paint shops doing piece rate work. But I wasn't into reading books or anything like that. It was totally from God. And he gets all the credit. That's the power of God, able to break through the darkness in somebody's heart and burst light upon him. That's why I titled this book, A Drop of Grace. That's exactly what it was. It's just a drop. This is how powerful God is. It only takes a drop of his grace to break through the shackles of sin and open up the mind to his love and goodness.
You know, as you were sharing your story, I heard parallels to the life of Paul. And, you know, he persecuted and he considered himself to be the worst of sinners. How do you relate to Paul?
Oh, Paul was bad. I think I was worse than Paul, unfortunately, because there was so many other things I was wicked about But God is so gracious. God is so gracious.
Tell us about your growing from the point of your conversion experience. What has been your growth to the current time? Of course, we'll be growing till our last breath and till Jesus raises us again. But tell us about your growth.
You know, I find that as you study the Word of God, by beholding, it truly has an impact on your life. God created us, amazing, God created us that as long as we should live, we'd constantly grow in His likeness image. We'd constantly grow in wisdom, knowledge, in His love, in His power, because He created us with the capacity to do so. So the gospel just brings us back on track. The beautiful thing about the gospel is you get a fresh start. I can start over today. When I accept Jesus Christ as my Savior, when I accepted Him as my Savior, God said, look, I'm going to pass over your sins of the past. That's the Passover. I'm going to pass over your sins of the past. And today, I'm going to look at you like you've never done nothing wrong. Walk with me.
How did that feel?
That felt great. Now, you know what? The thing is, I want to walk with Him. Now, I still got all this baggage. You know, He brought them out of Egypt. Then He had to get Egypt out of them. He brings us out of the world, but He's got to get the world out of us. And that's a growing experience. The new covenant was the same as the old covenant. He'd write His law in our heart and mind. The old one is based upon their promises. The new one's based upon God's promise. He'll do it.
A better promise.
A better promise. Amen. And writing is a process. That's why sanctification is a work of a lifetime. And it's a beautiful thing. But I will tell the listeners today, stay in the Word of God. Pray. There's three things to growing in Christ. Study, prayer, and service. It's a three-legged stool. And if you leave any of those out, you'll fail in your growth in Christ.
What is the definition of service in your mind?
Service is sharing in any way that God prompts you to minister to somebody else. It's lifting another human being up.
At the same time, you're being lifted up too.
Amen. You are, because you cannot do for somebody without it reacting upon you. So it's bringing them hope, courage, peace, joy, love.
Tell me, you've got this book that we've been talking about, your life story, A Drop of Grace, and kind of tell the backstory. Kind of, it's a two-for-one opportunity.
Sure. So if you go to my website, dropofgrace.org, two things. You can watch a 13-minute video that I made about my life on YouTube, and I encourage you to watch that, check it out, leave a comment, and share it with a friend. But you can purchase a book. They're $12, but every book you buy, I donate to a prison ministry program called Christmas Behind Bars. So you do the math, you can figure it out. I'm not making a bunch of money off it. I didn't do it to make a bunch of money. I did it because I want people to know the power of God and bring hope to others.
Absolutely. Would you mind giving our listeners a way of accessing your book?
Yeah, sure. Okay, so go to dropofgrace.org and you can find it right there on my website.
Fantastic. Where are you now? And you know, the Lord's going to continue to grow you in the future, but what are you doing right now?
You know, I've been blessed to pastor at the Village Seventh-day Adventist Church in Berrien Springs, Michigan. I've been here coming up on 7 years, and it's been a joy to grow here, and I just look forward to continue to serve the Lord.
Amen. Give our listeners one last time that address to get your book.
It's dropofgrace.org. That's dropofgrace.org.
You've been listening to Pastor Dennis Page and his life, and I'm your host, Tom Majeur, for a book review on Strong Tower Radio. Until next time, God bless. Bye now.